You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to site now, check out all the good stuff we have there, leading you into the 2020 NFL Draft. I've got my two-round mock draft up, as well as my new Big Board top 100 overall players, as well as the players ranked completely by position. I also have a look back at free agency, the best and worst graded move at every single position, and that's what we're going to continue here to talk about on Locked On Fantasy Football. We're up now, as we said, team by team, going through and looking at every team's offseason. We're at the NFC South, and we did start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, going a little off our alphabetical route and going by the prominence route with the Bucs getting Tom Brady. Well, we know the reigning team of that division for a while has been the New Orleans Saints. And we're going backwards here. That means we'll hit Carolina, Atlanta here to finish the week. But yeah, we have to check in on the Saints. A lot of stuff going on with them on and off the field that are of note. We have some news more about them this week as well. They made a few key moves in free agency, a couple losses as well to shake up their roster. A lot of things still to be done here in the 2020 NFL draft. So, and we know it's an intriguing team to talk about in terms of fantasy football, the offensive production, the consistency. And we know that Drew Brees is returning here for another couple years. Sean Payton, who unfortunately was one of the people who contracted the coronavirus, had said this might be his last year. And they had the Taysom Hill contingency plan. But it's a two-year deal for Brees. We'll see if he plays through it. But there's every expectation right now that he's not planning to hang it up anytime soon. And so Brees is back in the fold, we know that, and trying to build on a very productive season. Keep in mind he did miss those five games, but when he was out there, he performed a lot like a QB1 in 2019. So we're going to examine all the things that are up with the Saints here. So let's start with Brees. So he gets that two-year deal to come back. Again, we want to project that he'll still be around here in 2021, but he steps in here. Teddy Bridgewater's gone, his top backup, who went 5-0 when he was sidelined with that thumb injury last year, hand injury. Taysom Hill got re-signed as a restricted free agent, so he's clearly the top backup. We know Peyton has hinted all offseason they're pretty high on Hill, maybe see him as a successor to Drew Brees. We'll have to see if that load management philosophy kind of plays into Hill's usage here throughout the season. We know Hill mainly has been a wrinkle player, use him out of the backfield, direct snaps there to run the ball, use him at tight end at some point, so wide receiver on reverse and end-around plays. But we haven't seen him traditionally play quarterback consistently there. I mean, the whole thing about Hill, and everyone was talking about, was Mohamed Sanu being a better effective option-type quarterback at wide receiver for the Falcons and Patriots than what Taysom Hill was just as a straight-up so-called quarterback here for the Saints. So I'm not saying Taysom Hill is not capable of lining up there and playing quarterback effectively and putting up numbers, but from what we've seen so far, it's more about the running, the blocking, the tight end, wide receiver hybrid-type receiving, as well as the special teams play and the speed we've seen. He's got a lot of speed to burn and all that. So, again, what we need to see is he going to drop back and throw? If he has an opportunity 5 to 10 times a game, what will he do with that? And I'm sure the Saints are hard at work in doing that. It helps that Bridgewater's gone, so Hill will be getting the straight-up second-team reps. And we expect that to be the case here. Now, the big question mark that's starting to linger is that Sean Payton misspoke here earlier in the week. He's been doing the round since he recovered and was cleared from the coronavirus this week. There was a slip of the tongue where he said, okay, we're preparing like Drew Brees' final year, whatever, but then he kind of rolled back those words a little bit and said, no, we're not expecting this to be his final year or not saying one way or the other that they're thinking beyond 2020 without Breeze at the moment. So the question then becomes, when the Saints get to the draft, what do they think? Do they think about finally going after the successor? In previous drafts, they've been attached to different guys there to take as a successor to Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater, that opportunity came along, so that kind of held things back. And Hill was kind of a flyer let go by the Packers that they added. So they've kind of had the ability to avoid addressing that position in the draft. Well, right now the rumor players, the number one and number two players that seem to come up a lot with the Saints are Jordan Love of Utah State. Big arm, big upside. Can move around, throw deep, needs a little time to develop. So a good situation would be there to stash him behind Drew Brees. And similarly, Jalen Hurts, a very good dual threat from Oklahoma. Remember him from Alabama. Good leadership, toughness, skills. Can work well in this Peyton offense with a little tutelage from Brees here. We know Taysom Hill and his athleticism are coveted highly by Peyton and the Saints. So again, those are the two names that come up quite a bit. Love and Hurts as options here to stash behind Breeze. It would make sense in general for the Saints to draft a quarterback at some point in this draft. I mean, you usually don't want to go into a season with just two, and Hill being that number two right now. You want to have a chance to develop someone else to make up for the void of Bridgewater there as a more seasoned backup. So this time I think they'll go for a more developmental type. I think Love and Hurts, in terms of spending earlier picks, and when I say that, I'm talking about second or third round on these guys to invest there. I don't see Jordan Love being an option for the Saints late in the first round. I just think that would be a bit of a mistake, a little bit of reach, especially when they don't need a quarterback right now, and he's not a guy that's going to start right away for them anyway. And they do have an immediate need here at linebacker to fill with that first round spot late there after winning the NFC South for another year. So the situation right now, Breeze, we expect him to get close to his regular work here. We have to see it to believe it that Hill's going to really cut in, and it's going to be more of a committee type approach, and where Breeze, say, gets 85% of snaps, and you have Taysom Hill cutting in with about 15. We have to still see that. It hasn't been a system that we've seen operated in the NFL, especially with the change of pace, wrinkle type quarterbacks, and we still have to see a lot more to believe that Hill would be your straight up again backup when he's also listed as a reserve at wide receiver as well on this team, and consider an extra running back as well. So all kinds of things. I mean, keep in mind they're only two deep in running back. They're not all that deep in wide receiver. And again, it's just Breeze and Hill at quarterback. So a lot of things to look for there, but everything surrounds Drew Breeze here. The big change in the quarterback room, again, no Bridgewater. Probably going to be replaced with some type of rookie in the room. If it's not drafted guy in the second day, maybe look at the third day there. So not Hurts or Love, maybe a third day project or an undrafted project. But it would make sense for Sean Payton and Drew Breeze to want to have that kind of a traditional type quarterback option should he hang it up here after the 2020 season. So there you have it. There's a lot looking at Drew Brees. And the Saints have said they're going to have a special place for the warm. They're going to be in a brewery owned by the Benson family. Keep it to six or seven people there. Make sure everyone's fully healthy before entering that room. Keep their distancing. So a lot of teams are certainly going to follow that protocol here in the 2020 NFL Draft. Speaking of which here, we've got you covered really well on the NFL Draft on the Locked On Network. We have a couple podcasts for you straight from the analytical minds and scouting evaluators of the Draft Network. One is Locked On NFL Draft. The other is Draft Dudes. So if you want to look at the scouting nitty-gritty evaluation type stuff, we've got that. If you want some personality-driven content from talking to some of these guys at the Senior Bowl and the Combine, we have that too. It's been Virtual Visit City for a lot of these prospects, but that's how you can get to know them on and off the field here, listening to Locked On NFL Network and the two draft shows we have, Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes. We'll be right back here to look at the rest of the Saints offense and start digging into some of the things that changed in free agency for them ahead of 2020. All right, let's continue our look at the New Orleans Saints and their outlook for the offseason. Now, the Saints were rather quiet in free agency offensively. The number one thing they did in terms of their own free agents, they let Teddy Bridgewater go, but they did keep Andres Pete at left guard. So their offensive line pretty much intact here. Still Terron Armstead on the left, Pete right next to him at left guard, Eric McCoy, the young player they like at center, Larry Warford still right guard, and Ryan Ramczyk still at right tackle. So they keep that portion intact. That's good news for Drew Brees. That's good news for their backfield, the Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, of course, when Hill gets in there and gets his opportunities. So continuity is always good up front, and that's what you get from the Saints. The big move, however, in terms of fantasy football and injury, is they went for another veteran for their pass game. Last year was Jared Cook, and that worked out really well. We were skeptical. I mean, he came over late in his career from the Raiders after a career year. Well, he got Drew Brees, and Drew Brees, we know, likes to stretch the field at times to the tight end. Cook, in a year where tight ends were a struggle at times, he really came through as a tight end one. But they made a similar move, and they spent quite a bit, really, on Emmanuel Sanders. 2 years, $16 million. It's no surprise the 49ers passed on him. They didn't have a lot of money. They had some contracts to worry about for next year. They even had to make a move to DeForest Buckner to free some money. This year, Sanders was on the downside of his career on the other side. He did slow down a bit for the 49ers. He flashed some big games early. He was valuable in kind of getting their receiving core back on track, that veteran stability until Debo Samuel could get going. Kendrick Bourne became a factor. George Kittle, tight end. He gave them a bit of a veteran presence to stabilize things when guys like Dante Pettis weren't quite up to the task and working, and Samuel needed some time to get up to speed to make some big plays there for him. So Sanders served that purpose, the 49ers moving on. The Saints, however, have been missing that veteran number two. Tre'Quan Smith now moves to the number three. Keith Kirkwood is gone. He's gone to the Panthers, so they're not keeping around. He flashed a little bit inside in the slot there for him. Sanders gives you that inside-outside versatility. So does Thomas. Smith, I think, is more of an outside receiver, but now he's not a guy that we're going to try to force and get something of. Smith has pretty much had that one big game against the Eagles a couple years ago, but pretty much has been a disappointment. We've been waiting for him to emerge as that number two with Michael Thomas. Instead, Thomas has dominated targets, caught everything his way, and been an elite wide receiver one. Well, that's not going to change much. I mean, Thomas is just a stud. He's going to catch everything thrown away. He's reliable for Drew Brees, but Sanders is that sneaky, savvy route runner with some big play juice. They needed that player. Smith wasn't exactly a field stretcher for them. You look at the rest of the receivers. You got Deontay Harris, Krishan Hogan, little Jordan Humphrey, Tre'Quan Mizell. So it's just a mix of guys. Emmanuel Butler. So these are just some no-name guys. So they could still draft a receiver here when they stretch the field, spread it with four wide. They're a little bit limited in that regard, but Sanders gives them a big boost here. And remember Ted Ginn, when he was on, he made some big plays for them, but they've moved on since. So they need some of that big play elements, which Sanders can provide, hitting the home run ball opposite Thomas. You get a little bit of slot versatility to run those possession routes inside. So again, Sanders, you have to look at more as a wide receiver three, potentially. I mean, Thomas is so far away as a wide receiver one. Jared Cook is a tight end one. And don't forget Alvin Kamara with his receiving ability, pretty high in terms of usage and targets there from that position. And Latavius Murray, he's capable in the passing game when you need him, when he's spelling Kamara. So I can't see massive volume for Sanders. I just don't think it's a team that really wants to do that. When you have Kamara and Murray, can trust Thomas all day, I think it's going to help Smith produce a little bit more. Sanders certainly has some big playability left. Could be a little touchdown dependent. Could be a little big play dependent for this team. But certainly it's a good situation. He was with Jimmy Garoppolo last year. Again, a couple big games, that notable Cardinals game early when he came over in the trade from Denver. He was very effective for San Francisco. But New Orleans, I think he steps into that kind of seasoned role that they've been looking for with Thomas. I mean, they've shuffled different guys in, and it's worked to some degree. But this is the guy that you look at in Sanders. They invested well in him. They want to use him, get that threat and some pressure off Thomas. So again, we're going to start rather conservative with his value as a wide receiver three, keeping in mind he's on the downside of his career at age 30, but also know that he has some speed and big playability, and the Saints want somebody who can occasionally take the top off a defense and kind of open things up better for Thomas underneath. Smith, again, going to be off the radar in fantasy. I mean, when you look at the pecking order, clearly he's pretty distant here. When you look after Thomas, Kamara, Cook, and Sanders, Smith is going to have that limited work he did. And if they throw in some wrinkles for Hill and have Murray catch some passes as well. Again, Tre'Quan Smith, pretty much we tried too hard with him. He's a limited receiver, and the Saints kind of realized that. And they put him in that number three role on the outside here when they stretch the field. So that's the big change there for the Saints. Now, Drew Brees certainly has a lot of weapons. He's in good shape here to throw to all these guys. Well, I think, again, they'll look for that potential number four receiver in the draft. Maybe he's still looking at a developmental tight end beyond Cook as he gets older. And Josh Hill is in the mix behind him. So some things to watch there. But Brees certainly would have been in the QB1 conversation if he had stayed healthy. If kind of fell out of that, we know that pretty badly. This team, again, wants to win more with running game and defense. They want to be a complete team. They don't want Drew Brees chucking a ton again. But, again, the weapons are too good between Kamara, Thomas, Sanders, Smith, and Cook, where you think his numbers falter as a QB1. You feel confident he's still in great shape. That's where you have to believe Drew Brees here is in 2020. So that's where the offense of the Saints stands. We'll look at the rest of the free agent things that kind of affected their defense and what else they're looking forward to here this offseason in a moment and their outlook. And now a more competitive NFC South with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers being a threat to their title. But first, I got to tell you, make sure that you're using the Locked On local podcast to connect with your local business and get your fans into your business. And it's very easy. Unlike any other podcast network, Locked On Network gives your local company the unique ability to reach your local podcast listeners, not just any podcast listeners. A Locked On podcast listener, if your company wants to connect with local fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising at 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. Let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising at 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. You'll hear from me one more time here on the New Orleans Saints for 2020, their offseason guide, as we look at the defense and close their show with some final thoughts on their outlook. All right, the New Orleans Saints and their defense, this is one thing that's kept them rather competitive ahead of the curve here in the NFC South. Again, the Bucs, up-and-coming defense, we talked about them. You can check out that show. Very good against the run, number one last year. Very improved against the pass throughout the season there with the pass rush for Todd Bowles. So the Saints have been ruling the roost as a complete team offensively, defensively. Or the Bucs are certainly going to give them a run for their money. The Falcons are still a work in progress. They made a few moves to improve. The Panthers did some things in their rebuild as well. They're intriguing, but we'll get to those teams in the order of Panthers-Falcons here to close the week. Well, closing on the Saints, I mean, let's look at their defense. It's pretty much intact. David Onyemata returns here. Malcolm Brown was their free agent pickup from last year from the Patriots. He's there. They expect Sheldon Rankins to be ready if the season progresses on time and is scheduled to start in September. As scheduled, that's a big return there for their run defense. They missed him last year when he went down. So you got a good rotation with Rankins and Brown and Onyemata. You still have Cameron Jordan holding down the fort. Elite player at the left end, Marcus Davenport, first-round pick, still growing as a player, and I think he'll get a little bit better, more productive rushing the passer opposite Jordan. It's here, DeMario Davis, underrated part of their defense, runs around and makes plays. Alex Anzalone missed a lot of time last year, but he's back here. They did lose A.J. Klein at the strong side linebacker, so right now it's Chase Hansen and Caden Ellis there at that position. They still have Kiko Alonso hanging around, but he's been hit or miss and ineffective, so I think linebacker is going to be a priority in the 2020 draft. That's why I thought Patrick Queen of LSU, that would be a great addition. A little smaller guy, but flies around, makes plays. I think he could fill really well for Klein. Also doesn't hurt. He went to Louisiana State right down the street. And Baton Rouge to New Orleans could be highly effective there. Patrick Queen, a player that we're going to look for that could definitely land with the Saints. Maybe they could also take a look at Kenneth Murray if they're moving around into the middle from Oklahoma, but I think Queen might be the better value pick for them when they're on the clock here in 2020 in the first round. So the Saints team wants to win now. They're built to win now. I think that's what they'll look. I think the addition of Sanders says they necessarily won't go after that wide receiver. It could be a Jalen Reagor or a Brandon Ayuk or a LaVisca Chenault Jr. from Colorado. So there's some options there in the late first round. They could look in a different round for those players. But again, I think getting that outside linebacker shored up to help Davis and Anzalone is going to be a priority, and that's why I have him taking Marcus Queen in the first round. Now, they moved on from Eli Apple, so he's gone here in the mix. Patrick Robinson still in the mix here as their nickel guy. Marshawn Lattimore entrenched as one starter. Janoris Jenkins, they took a flyer on him. The former Giant brought him back here. So, again, he's a risky guy, but Lattimore's the guy being more consistent, setting a table. They had P.J. Williams there as well. So they've changed things up there where Lattimore and Jenkins are on the outside. Robinson said his best years with the Saints and Eagles working the nickel. When he's on, you have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's also pretty good. Now to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's in the mix. They brought in Malcolm Jenkins. That's a big change here. In the secondary, with Von Bell going. Von Bell is a very good run defender. Big reason why the Saints were so good against the run. But, you know, Jenkins does a little bit of everything, cleans up there on the second level. Need a little more experience. Again, their sub packages are good with Robinson and Gardner-Johnson. And Marcus Williams, we know, can make a lot of plays on the ball. They also brought back DJ Swearinger. So pretty good depth in the secondary for the Saints. Need a little bit more depth and playmaking ability at linebacker. Feel like they'll get stronger at defensive tackle with Rankins on the way back with Onyemata still in the fold there for them in 2020. So pretty good scheme here. Consistency from both schemes. Personnel, not too much of a shakeup. Still the same kind of linchpins. Drew Brees, Cameron Jordan, everything else kind of set the tone after these guys. But good talent still on this team. The window's slowly closing. The Bucs being competitive and having a better shot with Brady and improved defense certainly can make the Saints sweat a little bit. It won't be as easy to win the NFC South, and they won't be the presumed champions. But again, the Saints team is formidable. They made their offensive reinforcement, so it's going to be fun to watch in this division for sure, how the Saints get competitive. And you have now the fun part of Drew Brees and Tom Brady playing twice a year. I mean, late in their career, we didn't know if that was going to happen as much, but now we're guaranteed to get it two times here, hopefully for the next two seasons, as both of them have two-year deals in place to play in the NFC South. So pretty good division. We still have Matt Ryan. I mean, he's the guy that was the MVP most recently in this division. So that's going to be some excitement there to talk about the Falcons. But first, we'll have to talk about the Panthers and their big moves here this offseason as well. So we'll finish up the NFC South this week. Then we'll go into the changes into the AFC South. So we've got to start with the Texans there. So we'll kick off next week looking at them. At some point, we'll circle back to the draft prospects once we get through a couple more teams there and look at my big board and mock drafts and looking at the position rankings there skill-wise to give you a better idea of who's going to be more immediate impact players. So we have some time definitely counting down to the draft, but again, we want to continue our team-by-team looks to kind of set the table for you between free agency and the draft, and we'll continue to do that here on Locked On Fantasy Football. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football, all about the New Orleans Saints. Now let your smart device and tell it to play the most recent episode of Draft Dudes. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.